Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Do you ever sit down on a teeter-totter and try to make it work by yourself? It doesn't work very well, does it? You have to have somebody else on the other side. And that's the way God designed our lives. We need each other. We're better together. We need relationships to live the life that God intended for us to live. Let's look at God's Word and what He has to say about this today.
Thanks for joining us here on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. You know, the world tells us that we shouldn't count on anyone but ourselves to make our way in life. We don't need anybody's help. We know what's best for us. Now, as we continue our series called Better Together, we'll see that God's Word, the Bible, says the exact opposite. Do you know what God's five purposes for your life are? If not, then stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about the 40 Days of Community devotional book. This powerful tool is the key to developing healthy relationships that will help you and your friends find and fulfill God's purposes, and you can take a sneak peek at this great resource just by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. That's rickwarren.org. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Serving Together.
One of the rules for our small groups is what is said in the groups stays in the group. What is said in the group stays in the small group. You don't go talking to everybody else about it. It's confidential to those who are in that group. They've trusted you. They haven't trusted you to tell it to everybody else. What's said in the group stays in the group. Proverbs 11:13 says this. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Now, you know what gossip is. Gossip is when you're sharing information and you're neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. If you're sharing information and you're not part of the problem or you're not part of the solution, that's called gossip. And God says it's wrong. Now, fortunately or unfortunately today, we have a new technology that spreads gossip faster than anything else. It's called email. And if it's really juicy gossip, you BCC, blind copy it. The next time you use a BCC, stop and ask yourself, am I gossiping? Because if you want to be trustworthy, you have to gain that trust by being consistent and being confidential. And let me tell you this. People who talk to you about other people will also talk about you to other people. So just be aware of that. That if they gossip to you, they're going to gossip about you. And the Bible says, don't hang around gossips. In fact, you know, as you say, I don't want to hear it. Stop. That's stolen information. In fact, in the law, if you buy stolen property, you're as guilty as the person who stole it. So don't do it. Don't gossip. Now, the third thing, if you want people to trust you, is not only being consistent and being confidential, but by being close. You have to spend time with people in order to earn their trust. You don't trust people you don't know. And in Proverbs 17:17, it says this. Now, don't turn it over yet, because I got a lot to say about this verse. Let's read it all out together, so make sure you're on that same page. Okay, read it with me. Friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Now, circle the phrase, stick together. That implies proximity. It says you're close. You're together. You stick together. Distance creates distrust. And the more when you're distant from people, you start being distrustful of them. You, as I said, you don't trust people you don't know. So if you want people to trust you, you got to spend time with them. Would you write this down? Time creates trust. Or another way you could say it is trust takes time. Either way, it takes time to build trust. And so trust takes time. And notice it says it, you learn trust through all kinds of weather. Now, it takes a long time to build trust. Question, can you lose trust quickly? Oh, yeah. You could lose it in a second. But it can take months and maybe even years to build it. Trust takes time. And you can't grow it quickly. You can't grow trust quickly. Now, what am I saying this for? Because some of you are in small groups now, and you're just starting to learn to trust each other. You've been in this thing 3, 4, 5 weeks now, and you're just learning to open up, to get comfortable. And this thing's going to be over in 2 weeks. Please, I urge you, keep your group going. Don't short-circuit the system. God is building trust in your life and in others' lives. And if you cut it out just as it's starting to bloom, you are going to short circuit the blessing God wants to do in your life and in the life and through your group. So I urge you, stay together and learn to build that trust, because our world desperately needs trustworthy people. And these are people who God can count on and we can count on to be the hands and the feet of the body of Christ. The second key to teamwork is empathy. That's the E in team. It takes empathy. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, live in harmony with one another and be sympathetic. Now, you can't have the first without the second. You're never going to live in harmony with your wife, your husband, your friends, or anybody else. You can't have harmony without sympathy. And you can't have a team without being aware of what's going on in each other's lives. It's more than just working on a project together. You have to be aware of each other. That's why when people work together in an office, they may be working, but they're not a team unless they know what's going on in each other's lives. You have to have empathy. Now, empathy is so important because it meets two of your deepest needs. First, you have a fundamental need to be understood. Everybody in life wants to have at least one other person in their life that says, they understand me. They know me. They understand what I'm thinking.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Serving Together, from our series called Better Together. The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But right now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131.
The 40 Days of Community devotional book by Rick Warren is a dynamic individual or small group study that shows you how to fulfill God's five purposes for your life by establishing and maintaining meaningful, purposeful relationships. This devotional book unpacks the biblical support for each of God's five purposes and shows how you put them to use in your circle of influence so that you can help benefit and grow God's kingdom. Pastor Rick says that God planned for Christians to fulfill his purpose in community with each other in our church families, small groups, and in the world as a whole. But why did God plan it this way? Because we're better together. When you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you the 40 Days of Community devotional book as our way of saying thanks. Call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. If you like, you can simply text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Everybody in life wants to have at least one other person in their life that says, they understand me. They know me. They understand what I'm thinking. And you have a need to be understood. Everybody does. Second, you have a deep need, it's a human need, to have your feelings validated. You need somebody in your life who says, you're not weird. You're not a kook. It's okay to feel that way. That's normal. And everybody wants to be understood and have their feelings validated by somebody else. And that's what empathy does. It meets those two deep needs. Now, if you're going to build a team of friends or build your small group or anything else, strengthen your family, you have to build empathy into the structure. And how do you do that? How do you become an empathetic person? Three ways. Number one, slow down. Slow down. Speed destroys empathy. If I were to get in a jet plane and I were to fly down the Pacific coast to San Diego, I wouldn't see many of the details because I'm going so fast. If I were then to get into an Amtrak and I were to take Amtrak from here to San Diego, I'd see a little bit more because I'd be going a little slower. If somebody was to drive me in a car to San Diego down the coastline, I'd see a little bit more because I'd be going even slower. If I were to go down to the beach and walk to San Diego, I'd really see a lot of details about the ocean. But if I wanted to really get the details, I'd just go down to the beach and sit down and stay there and just look and not move. And if I don't move, I'm going to see all kinds of details, like little ants moving around in the sand and stuff like that, I would never see any other way. When you're moving, you miss the details. And the faster I move, the more details I'm going to miss in life. Now, because our culture teaches us to move fast, all of us end up relationally skimming. That means you're hitting the high points and you're missing all kinds of details in the lives of people that you care about most. Your friends, your family, your husband, your wife, your parents, your kids, the people you work with, the people in your small group. If you're moving fast, you cannot see the details. So the first step to empathy is slow down. James 1:19, read this verse with me. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Did you know, this is great advice for groups, by the way, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Did you know that the average human being, you can comprehend about 650 words a minute, but the average person speaks 150 words a minute. That means you got a 400 word boredom factor between what they're saying and your ability to comprehend it. And now, guys, don't use this as an excuse. Well, I can read the paper and listen to you. I can watch TV and listen to you. Yes, the truth is you can, but it's not empathetic. It's not empathetic. And so you have to intentionally slow down. You know, after I teach you on Sundays or on Saturdays, I go out on the patio just to talk to people. And I love that. In fact, I like that actually even more than teaching, just the one-on-one interaction with people. And when I walk off this stage, as I go down the stairs, I tell myself, slow down. Because when I'm up here, I'm speaking, I'm at a pretty high RPM in my brain function. But when I go outside, I need to be able to listen, not just speak. And that requires me slowing down. I used to do this at home with when my kids were little. I had a giant milk container, old-fashioned milk container that I set out in front of my front door. And when I would come home from work with all the stresses and all the worries and all the problems and all the things that were going on, and I was running at pretty high RPM, I would stop at the front door and wait about a minute before I would go in. I wouldn't just dash into the door. I would stop at the front door and I'd take a couple deep breaths. I would calm myself down and I would mentally take all of the worries that are the concerns and the prayer requests and all those kind of things that I'd heard during the day, and I would dump them in that milk container mentally, so that when I would walk in, I was slowed down on the RPMs, ready to listen to my kids, to Kay, and whatever needed to be said. That has to be an intentional strategy. In fact, I would suggest you practice that before you go to your small group each week. Don't, you know, usually it's at the small groups at the end of the day and you go running in and you're on the cell phone and you just grabbed, you know, a Del Taco Macho Combo burrito and, you know, and you're wolfing it down and you're talking on the phone and you're trying to make arrangements and blah, blah, blah. And you rush in and everybody, how you doing? Well, I'm fine. How you doing? I'm okay too. No. No, 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 no. What you need to do is go stand at the door before you even knock on the door. Take a couple of deep breaths. Turn the RPMs down a little bit. Because if you don't, you're going to miss the signals. You're going to walk in, and if you're all, you know, up at a high RPM, what's going to happen is you say, how you doing? I'm fine. You go, oh, great, and you keep walking. Whereas if you'd been slow, you'd look at them and say, how you doing? I'm fine. You could see body language. They're not fine. They're not fine. And that brings me to the next way to be empathetic. Not only do you need to slow down, ask questions. Ask questions. That's how you show empathy to your children or to anybody else. Ask them questions. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says this. A person's thoughts are like deep water in a well, like water in a deep well. But Someone with insight can draw them out. Circle that, draw them out. You have to draw it out of people if you want to be empathetic. Now, how do you do that? And why do you do it? Why do I have to draw it out? Well, in the first place, most people don't blurt out their emotions. Now, some people do, but not very many. Most people hold their emotions pretty close to their vest, and they don't really just automatically share how they're really, how are you doing? I'm fine, the standard answer. They're not really telling you how they feel. They're just giving you the polite response because they don't know if you really mean it or not. How you doing can really be a serious question or it could be just nothing. But if you say, how are you doing? They say, I'm fine. Here's how you draw it out. Learn to ask the question twice. That's how you develop empathy. Learn to ask the question twice. How are you doing? Well, I'm doing just fine. You pause and you say, no, how are you really doing? You ask the question twice. Or you ask the question, how's it going in your life? Tell me what's going on in your life. And they'll tell you a little bit what's going on in their life. You pause and then you say, tell me more. See, what you're doing, you're inviting, it's the second question, not the first, at which people open up. So to be empathetic, you learn to ask the question twice. And then the other thing you do is learn to linger. And that means don't be afraid of silence. You just kind of be in the moment, you stay in the present, you ask the question, you just kind of sit there. You don't immediately go into your agenda, you just listen. You learn. And don't be afraid of silence. Now, for those of us with ADD, this is excruciating. Okay? It's like ants crawling up and down my back when this happens. But you could be mature enough to kind of tune in and force yourself to go against your natural inclinations, which is, let's talk about something else. Slow down, ask questions. The third thing is show emotions. Show emotions. That's how you empathize with people. Romans 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now, empathy is more than saying, I'm sorry you hurt. Empathy is saying, I hurt with you. That's empathy. I hurt with you. And you're willing to cry with them. You're willing to weep with them. You're willing to rejoice with them. Now, how do you do that? There's only one way you're going to be that empathetic. Stay filled up with God. That's the only way. If your tank gets empty of God, you're not going to be empathetic to anybody. So you have to stay, if you get low on God, you're not going to be empathetic at all. You've got to stay filled up with God. Now, the thing that I love about the fact that we now have thousands of people in small groups in this church is I know that emotional needs are getting taken care of in a way that was not possible before we had all these groups. That every week, groups are showing empathy. The third key to being a team is accommodation. It takes trust. You got to build trust between each other to have a team in your small group. It takes empathy and it takes accommodation because we're all different. Now, what does accommodation mean? Well, you know, when you make accommodation for somebody, it means you get them a room. You get them a room at the hotel or the motel, or you give them a room at your house. To accommodate somebody means you give them space. And that means you have to accommodate people in lots of different ways in your team and in your small group. Tom's going to talk about that in just a minute. But you have to make accommodation for people if you're going to have a team because God made us all different. You know, if you were to come over to my house, the most beautiful room in our house is not the bedroom. And it's not the living room. And it's not the dining room. In our house, the most beautiful room is the guest room. Now, I don't understand this. But in Kay's mind, it's a big deal to her. The guest gets the best. The guest gets the best. It's a pretty good rule for life. But I'm going, wait a minute, I live here every day. That room sits empty a lot of times. Why don't you let us move into that room? No, the guests get the best. And that's what it means to accommodate. Now, I don't need to talk to you about accommodation because this church is the pro at accommodation. This entire church, the reason why it's so large and has reached so many people is we have had unselfish people throughout the history of this church who were willing to accommodate and make accommodations so more people could come. In Saddleback Church, we still have 60 members from the first year 25 years ago. Now imagine the changes those people have been through. Think of all, you know, in the first 13 years of this church, we used 79 different facilities, 79 different buildings. We said, this is a church where if you can figure out where we are this week, you get to come. And so we used Laguna Hills High School, Capo High School, El Toro High School, Mission Viejo High School, Tribuco Hills High School. We used bank buildings. We used Charter Hospital building. We used warehouses. We used tents. We used stadiums. We used parks. We used all kinds of different buildings. We kept moving around. Why? In order to accommodate more people. In order to accommodate more people. And we wanted to make sure we only had really intelligent people, so... So we kept changing the location. If you could figure out where we are, then you're one of us. If you can't find us, you're too dumb, okay? And so we constantly were accommodating by moving and moving and moving and moving and moving. And even today, you know, visitors like to come to this service. And they like to come to the 11 o'clock. They like to come on Sunday morning. So 5,000 members in our church accommodated this by moving to Saturday night. And they made room for visitors on Sunday morning. And 2,500 members of our church moved to Sunday night so we'd have more room on Sunday morning. And 2,500 of our members moved to the venues who are watching right now so there'd be more room in here. That, there's only one word for that. Unselfishness. They're unselfish. They're willing to do it. And then to free up parking spots here on Sunday morning. We have hundreds and hundreds of people in the venues and here who park off campus and use the Saddleback shuttle so visitors will have a parking spot here on Sunday morning. That's accommodation. In fact, if you came on the shuttle today or in any of the venues, would you stand up right now? And I want you to applaud these people. If you came on the shuttle, look at this. Look at this. All right. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Okay, stay standing. Now, I want all of us together to say to these people, thank you. One, two, three.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Next week, I expect twice that number.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
God created us to need community. You need it. I need it. There's a longing for belonging in every human heart. We're made to need each other. And whether you ever get married or not, you need relationships. And more than that, you need a spiritual family where you can grow together. How do you do that? Well, one of the ways is through the Better Together 40-Day Devotional. It's a book that I've put together that will help you discover how to learn the one another's of the New Testament, how to love one another, to reach out to one another, to fellowship with one another, to grow because of one another, to serve one another, and to worship together. The Bible tells us that we're better together. Now, in this Better Together 40-Day Devotional, there's some journaling pages so you can record your own thoughts, you can write down your own prayers as you learn about the power and the potential of Christian community. And by the way, it's a perfect complement to the 40 Days of Community Study Kit that I've been telling you is available for a small group. Right now, when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope, I will send you the Better Together Devotional book. Now, these devotionals are going to help you develop the skills for deeper relationships with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with the people in your church family. Doesn't that sound good? Well, it sounds good to me. Not only will they be blessed, you will be blessed too. And you can make your contribution to Daily Hope Ministry on the website, rickwarren.org. And again, I want to remind you, I don't take any money from this ministry. I do it for free. I volunteer my time because I love you and I want you to be all God wants you to be. God bless you, and I hope you'll join me next time as we continue looking into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.